Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We knew this day was coming involving former Minneapolis police officer Muhammad Noor. He receives a new sentence, 4¾ years for the manslaughter conviction. This all took place because the Supreme Court had set aside the third-degree murder charge. They did that last month, so the decision vacated a potential prison term of 12.5 years. This decision was handed down by Judge Catherine Quaintance. And to talk about it, Amanda joined Adam a number of times during the trial of Derek Chauvin, and I enjoyed those conversations. Also, Rick Petrie, Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Mitchell Hamlin School of Law. Rick, good to meet you. Thank you very much for coming on. What is your reaction in the broadest sense? And we'll get to some specifics on what Judge Quaintance had to say today.
Hi, Chad. First of all, thanks again for having me back on your show. My broad reaction is I'm not really surprised. The court sentenced according to the guidelines, which is pretty much what she was bound to do. So I guess it's, you know, that's sort of what I think everybody in the legal community expected, and that's what we saw today.
She cited the fact that Noor had fired his gun across the nose of his partner, endangering a bicyclist and others in the neighborhood, and added, Judge Quaintance did, these factors of endangering the public make your crime of manslaughter appropriate for a high-end sentence. I know we had a couple different people on who thought it might be somewhere in the middle. Her explanation of the events which took the life of Justine Rizik Damon, do they resonate with you and seem appropriate for the higher sentence?
Yeah, I tend to agree with the court's decision. You know, a middle of the road sentence or the middle of the guideline box, I think that would have been 47 months, if I remember correctly. Given the circumstances that he did shoot inside the car, across his partner, the lady who had called the police in the first place and endangered other people in the community without any sort of justification, certainly in my opinion, justifies her going to the high end of the guidelines. The other thing that I think is notable is she raised this issue that no one had filed a motion for a sentencing departure, which in this case, that would have been something that the county attorney could have done at some point earlier in the proceedings, but didn't do for whatever reason. And I think that if they had, that would have given her a basis, a legal basis to go even higher. But considering that there was no motion for departure, she was bound by the guidelines and she went to the top of the guidelines.
Were you surprised that this motion for departure was not filed?
Yeah, in a way, yes. I mean, if, just as a practical matter, setting aside just for a moment the law, I mean, I can't really think of a much worse situation for a citizen to call into the police seeking help and then wind up getting killed by the same police that came supposedly to help the person. And I read the facts. I understand that she banged on the car and they were frightened and startled, but it just seems to me that the reaction to shoot from inside the car into the dark, not knowing who the person was and not even really being able to assess whether it was a true threat or something else just doesn't sit well. And that's the kind of things that the citizens in the city of Minneapolis and here in the state of Minnesota are simply tired of.
So let's stay with that, because I'm already getting multiple texts kind of on that same point where people are thinking, you know, she is concerned. She calls the police. She comes out. There is a reaction and she's gone. When you look at this as someone with the legal background and just an everyday citizen, does this seem like enough? 4¾ years under these circumstances and the fact this also was a trained police officer.
Yeah, now we have to go back to the law, because the guidelines control the sentencing. The Minnesota sentencing guidelines control the sentencing. And without having some sort of legal basis to depart from those guidelines, the court is really stuck with whatever the guidelines provide. And here, not having any sort of a motion for an upward departure, which could have been in two forms. I think what would have made the most sense here would have been what we would call an upward durational departure, which would ask the court to go above the number of months or years, whatever, for the sentence. But without that, the court just is really bound by the guidelines. And that's, it's really an unfortunate situation. But the law pretty much boxed Judge Quaintance into doing what she did. She imposed as much as she could, given the circumstances legally.
We are talking about the new sentence for Muhammad Noor, the former Minneapolis police officer, just short of 5 years on manslaughter. The sentence from Judge Quaintance earlier today. Our excellent guest is Rick Petrie, Director of Diversity, Equity, Inclusion at Mitchell Hamlin School of Law. Let me ask you this, Rick. I think some people might look at this and say, because the longer sentence was taken away by the Supreme Court. Now, Joe Freeburg is a regular guest on this show, and Joe has been saying for months and months and months this was not going to hold up, that the third degree was not going to hold up, and just fully expected the Supreme Court to pull back on this and reverse it. But the fact that you had a longer sentence out there, is there deference in any way at all, even if people don't want to acknowledge it, to go to the higher sentence within the guidelines because the other longer sentence has now been taken away as a possibility?
Well, if I understand your question, is it appropriate to go to the higher end of the sentence because the first sentence was taken away? Well, if that's the question, legally, not necessarily, because the longer sentence was taken away because it was an improper conviction under the law. And I think almost everybody, with the exception of the folks that were making the arguments at the Court of Appeals, of course, the Court of Appeals, they ruled that it was proper, but then it was, of course, reversed at the Supreme Court. But I think most people in the legal community agree that the third-degree conviction was erroneous, that there shouldn't have been a conviction under longstanding Minnesota law. So you can't say, well, if this other conviction was knocked out and the sentence that was associated with that was knocked out, then we should impose the highest sentence that we can with whatever we have left. That wouldn't stand up legally, because you still have to have some sort of a factual basis to support the sentence. And I understand how people feel. I mean, I just looked at some information out of the Department of Corrections. It looks like his anticipated release date now is June 27th of 2022, which is a lot sooner than he would have been released if that third degree conviction had held. But this is America, and we are controlled by the rule of law. And the rule of law says this is the most that he could be sentenced to, considering what the actual conviction was that stuck. And so that's where we're at. I mean, I get it. I understand the frustration. But, you know, if we're going to be a country guided by the rule of law, then that's what the rule of law says.
While I have you here, I want to talk about a couple other cases that obviously are still very prominent in the news. Derek Chauvin has hired a new lawyer. He is looking to appeal what happened with his convictions. You obviously paid very close attention to that. You were on with Adam a number of times on that. Do you think Derek Chauvin, in your legal view, has a viable path for an appeal?
I don't think so. I don't. You know, he'll probably win on the third degree, as he was convicted on that as well. But I don't think that the top count, I think that's going to be pretty solid. I mean, yeah, he certainly has a right to appeal. He certainly has a right to have the Court of Appeals and or the Minnesota Supreme Court to take a look at it and see if any errors occurred along the way. I've read some of the pleadings. I just don't think that it's going to go anywhere. I think those convictions are going to stay, and I think the sentence is going to stay as well.
We also are coming up fairly soon here, the trial of former Brooklyn Center police officer Kim Potter, who killed Dante Wright in a traffic stop in April. There is the back and forth on training records. There is the back and forth coming up on from the defense about what may have caused this decision to happen, her background, her training. Where do you think we're headed on what will be allowed and what will not be allowed and how essential that will be in the trial of former Officer Potter?
Well, I think certainly her training record is very material. The defense appears to be, this is based off her statements, that she mistakenly grabbed the pistol instead of the taser. As a practical matter, I find that one very difficult to believe, but could it happen? I suppose it's possible. But the training records, I think, are very relevant. And in fact, I think by raising the defense that she's raised, she's put that specifically at issue. The defense is going to suggest that, you know, that she just snapped and made a mistake or whatever it's going to be. But the prosecution's going to say, well, you've received training and specific instructions on where these particular weapons are supposed to be placed. They're different colors. They have different feels, all of those things. And you would think that a person, you know, that's about to discharge any weapon is going to be looking where they're aiming. And when you're looking where you're aiming, there's at least an argument to be made that you would see whatever the weapon is that you're aiming. And one's yellow and the other one's far from yellow. And so that would give you an opportunity to see, uh-oh, I made a mistake. I grabbed the wrong weapon. But that, there's a flip side to that as well. If you look at the neuroscience of it, the neuroscience would suggest that when you're in that state, you're highly focused on the perceived threat, which could suggest in that situation that she's focused on Dante and not seeing the weapon. So that's a fact question that I think a jury would have to sort out. But to get back to your original question, I think all of that has to come in.
Last thing for Rick Petrie from Mitchell Hamlin School of Law. It was little less than 2 months ago, Rick, when Attorney General Ellison, who now is in charge of this case, on the Potter case, also added first-degree manslaughter charge. Did you think that was the appropriate decision to add the charge?
Boy, that's a tough question. I'm not going to second-guess the Attorney General on that. I think it's a tougher bet to make. But I'm not going to second guess him on that one.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on. We'll reach out again.
Sure, Chad. Thank you.
Thank you. Rick Petrie, Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Mitchell Hamlin School of Law. Give us a follow on Twitter. Do it right now at AC830, at Dan Cook, WCCO, at Chad Hartman Show.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.